continue with the Bible lessons. If you want to turn in your Bibles, our first lesson is from the book of Acts. And then we'll have the psalm, and then we'll have one from 1 Peter that kind of gives you a head up where to turn. First one is 1 Acts.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Today we read Psalm 23 from the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for this morning is from the book of the Gospel book of St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. And if you're just kind of coming in, because I'm kind of learning how the folks sometimes are joining, not always at the very beginning of the service, and sometimes they join a little bit late. But if you didn't get it, there was a surprise today to Mr. Hollenbeck, Miss Music, and myself from many of you in the church that was a piece. We have not heard your voices and seen your faces like that now for 7 weeks. But this morning, you gave us a gift. Thank you so much. How he was able to read afterwards and she was able to sing. They're both almost on the verge of crying. They're professionally holding it together. It really mattered. So thank you so much for that. So now on to the message. It's been about 7 weeks now. And from the very beginning, friends and members of the church and have been asking pastor, like, what do you think? And to that, it's grounded on, like, who are you going to believe? Who are you trusting in this time? And who are you following? Which advice are you following? And so we've had all kinds of things on the news. Whether sometimes it might be a news station that drinks the blue Kool-Aid, and sometimes it might be a news station that drinks the red Kool-Aid. But regardless of the station, they're all taking this information, they're bombarding us with it. And at the end of it, we have to sit back and try to make decisions about how we're going to live as a people amidst a COVID virus, and how we're going to try to love each other enough to keep them safe, but love God and love each other enough that we still live as a people of God. And so that's been challenging. And so that question, who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who do you follow? It happened just again in these last weeks, very strong. This last Fridays, we're trying to come up to decisions here in Arkansas about whether we're going to open up economy and what that might look like in part. And so, pastor, what do you believe? And my answer last Friday was kind of in a place of frustration and just, not really frustration, but just not really hopelessness, but I just really didn't know what to say anymore. My answer came in that the President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, he had a dream in November of 1863. And in that dream, following the Civil War, he shared it in this Gettysburg Address, but he shared some words, he said, of a government that was of the people and by the people and for the people. And I thought, I wonder if that nation and that government is all but just history now, looking at how we function as a people and as a nation, as a government. And so I told him, I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to trust and who to follow. All I have that I can believe, that I can trust, and the only person that I can follow is God. God who is revealed in Jesus, God who is recorded and presented to me in the scriptures and in the Bible. And so in these last days and weeks, more than ever, in this quiet time, this separation time in many ways, I've been able to prayerfully try to turn to that more and more in this last week in desperation. I encourage you to do the same. Until this world comes back to whatever a new norm is going to be, I encourage you to continue your prayers. Continue to go to the scriptures day, noon, and night and just read them and pray them and trust for God's word to speak to you. So regardless of what decisions and things we have to make in this world, at least we stayed close to our Lord. Now, thinking about the situation around here and some folks kind of growing more in their pessimism at time or unrestlessness, I need something kind of fun. So I was trying to think of something fun related to maybe today's Bible passage and Jesus talking to his friends. And so I was remembering something that happened in confirmation classes when I was able to have a leading role with them. It was kind of a tradition. The seventh graders would go through this, and then as eighth graders, they become helpers. And the parents of the eighth graders remember what they did before, and they had some experience to help some of the parents of the seventh graders. But it was quite a fun night, and it was a lot of teaching involved with this activity. And as you're listening to it, I think there's going to be teaching for you as well. So how it works is this. The seventh graders are told, though they're separated, so the eighth graders are someplace else getting things ready with the parents. The seventh graders are huddling with me and they're getting some instructions. And the instructions are kind of like this. In just a few minutes, you're going to be blindfolded. And you're going to be blindfolded, not just a little way where you can maybe peek and cheat, you know, cheat out the bottom of your blindfold. No, you're going to be blindfolded in such a way as it's just blacked out. And you're going to be introduced to someone and you won't know who they are, but it's going to function as either a devil or as an angel. And you're going to have to figure it out. They can only talk to you. They can't make you do anything. If you're going to take a step, it's because you decide to step. If you're going to sit down, it's because you decide to sit down. They can't touch you. They can't help you in any way like that. And the goal of these of you as the seventh graders is to get from here where we start, which is right side of a big sanctuary space, and you've got to get to a place that you don't know where it's at right now, but it's a place we've called and set up as heaven. And you got to get to heaven, and the adversaries are going to try to get you anywhere but heaven. So now you're kind of the pawn, and they're going to be moving on you. Be aware of that. That there's going to be a celebration for you when you get to heaven. It's going to be special tonight. There's going to be things in heaven that you didn't see coming, and you're going to be really happy you made it there. And along the way, the only person that you can know from the very beginning to the very end who's going to tell you God's truth and is going to help you get to heaven will be your pastor. And I got to function as that person. And so if you feel the need and you can ask out, and I'm in the vicinity, they'll get your attention. I'll come to you and you can ask me the questions and I will assist you. Other than that, you're on your own. Along the way, you might be surprised with some other angels and devil voices, and you'll figure out who they are soon enough. Anyway, so at that point, it was set. I made sure that the obstacle courses and all the stuff on one side of the property was all set up. All the buildings were open. The music was playing. Everything was in order. Set the blindfolds on. Start introducing our seventh graders to pairs of parents. And the event, and then they would go. So the parents, they flipped a coin. They didn't know whether they're going to be angels or devils going into it. Sometimes they were happy with the choice. Sometimes they weren't. But either way, that was their assignment. The devils were absolutely trying to convince and get the trust of the young ones to go any place but heaven. And the angel was getting them to ignore the devil and go any place, no place but heaven. And that's how it started off. Blindfolded. Starts off at the edge of the church property on some steps. They have to go down the steps and they have to cross to a road. And that was a process in itself. Are you going to trust someone to help you cross road when you can't see and there might be cars coming? And then when they got to the other side on the sidewalk, their first big choice was to heaven or to the church, the historic church building. And they made a lot of good arguments. Well, hey, heaven is the church, and you want to go to the church. That's where you hear God's word, the sacrament. It only makes sense that you want to go to the church, and we'll find heaven there. And the angels and the demons are working on this seventh grader to convince them to either go to heaven, which was someplace other than just sitting in the church building. If they made a good choice and they continued on, many didn't, then their next choice as they got to the sidewalk was enter this building that had loud, booming, I mean, incredibly loud Christian music just blasting. And it was like Pepe rapping Christmas or Christian music, not the kind of stuff we hear in worship service. It was good, like festive music. Go there or to go to their coveted senior high house, because the seventh and eighth graders didn't go there very much. That was for the senior high kids. But they could go there instead. And so the devil tried to convince them to go to the senior high house, and the angel was trying to get them to go into this big fellowship space that was going to be closer to heaven. Then if they did make the choice to go in where the music was booming, they would open that door and they would hear the fullness of the sound. They would get in there. The first thing that they would recognize that it was very intense. Their eyes were covered, so now their ears were like overwhelmed with the booming of this Christian music. And now they were surrounded by all kinds of voices. All the other eighth graders that weren't participating in other places were there. Some of them were acting as angels. Some of them were acting as the devils. And the seventh grader had no clue. Not only had the two historical voices been with them from the beginning, and now they had a bunch of others. And in order to progress towards heaven, they were given a choice. They could make a right turn and enter a classroom, and it was kind of calm and peaceful. And they said, oh, this is heaven because it's going to be calm and peaceful and it's not that ruckus. Or they had to climb over a very large cloth-covered sofa chair, like a reclining sofa chair. It was a really nice sofa chair. And they had to climb over that. And they normally don't climb on furniture. They've been told as if since been kids, you don't climb on the furniture. And so, but in order to get to heaven, they had to. So they would, some of them, they eventually climbed over the couch and made their way towards heaven. Eventually, the other ones came out of the classroom. The last obstacle was they had to go underneath a bunch of tables. We had all the tables, and they had to go underneath the tables and crawl hands and knees to get there, or they could take an easy path that led them towards the bathrooms. And a couple of the kids eventually always get led toward the bathrooms because that was the easy path. Eventually, they would get under the tables. Now, underneath the tables, we had poured water. So the floor was cold. The water was cold. And there were ornery little eighth grade devils under there were squirt bottles. And when they come close to it, they would squirt them with water as they're touching this water. And the devils are saying, oh, that's the toilet backed up. And now you're climbing in nasty water. And they were just, it was an intense fight for the seventh grader to crawl. And the angel had to go in front of them, crawling backwards underneath these plastic tables, bumping their heads, bumping their elbows, scuffing themselves, going through this water, getting sprayed to lead their seventh grader towards heaven. And finally, when they got to heaven, which was the door to get to this great big kitchen, when they got there, the angel could take off the mask, and behold, as soon as they got there, all the eighth graders that were in heaven and the other parents that were in there came up and were giving them high fives and great big hugs. It was a huge celebration for them. We had the music really loud so that the kids wouldn't hear that so much, that we're still in the seventh grade channel of getting there. And then there was food. Oh, I mean, there was great food that night. It could have been fajitas and cakes and cookies and all kinds of sodas and drinks and waters and stuff. It was just a buffet of good things. From heaven, after they got in there, they could go to this massive counter, and there, in silence, they couldn't talk out. They could watch the progression of the other seventh graders with the angels and the demons going through what they had just gone through. When everybody had finally made their way, I eventually would have to go to the sanctuary space and say, you know, when they say, if they would ask for help, okay, I'm here, your pastor's here, any questions for me? And they would ask, is this heaven or do I need to keep moving? And I would say, you know, sitting in the church is good. It's a good place to pray and pray. However, this is not heaven. You're going to need to find which angel you need to listen to, and you need to get to heaven. And they would move their way out of the sanctuary. To the ones that were in the senior high house waiting for them, I would find them along the way. And if they asked me questions, I would say, the senior high house is a nice progression of your faith. You'll get to be here and worship and have your Bible studies here and your fellowship here. But this isn't heaven. You need to continue. And I would help people along the way. If they got down to the water, Lord, our pastor, do I need to get wet or do I know the ghost the other way? And I said, you know, sometimes life is messy and sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you got to do things that the world might tell you you shouldn't do, but it's what you need to do because you want to go to heaven. And I said, you probably need to do this. And so they would do that. So I was available to help them in. And when they all got there, finally, when they were all done and all the food was enjoyed, we went to a quiet place to talk about what had just happened. And if you think about this event on your own, if you're out and about this week and you have a moment, think about what it would be like to move through there and all the sounds and sights in the voices you're going to hear. So as we're talking about this, again, the idea of who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to follow? That was important for the seventh graders. John 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The seventh graders absolutely discovered that there were people around them that were not interested in their finding heaven. And then Jesus came that they would have life and have it abundantly, that there were also people around them that wanted them to have the fullness of heaven and successfully complete this no matter what. They lived it that night as much as we live it every day. So who to believe? It starts with that. In our lives and in all of our lives, just not mine, but everybody, it's not easy to discover who the devil is. It's not easy to discover who the angel is. Sometimes we're praying for answers and we're waiting for answers and we just don't hear the voices. And then we might say, God, open the doors and close the doors to this and that so we might know which way to go. And there's a lot of options and we want to know God's, but sometimes we're hearing to the ones that aren't God's ways and it gets confusing for us, just like it was for them. So in this confirmation activity, we realize that sometimes a parent, a trusted parent, could be either the angel or the devil. It was very effective when a mother spoke to a child and earned the child's trust. If that mother was an angel, the child almost directly made it to heaven. If the mother was acting as the devil, almost they'd always end up in the sanctuary or in the senior high house, in the classroom or in the toilets, right? Sometimes if the father was involved with their child, the same thing. They would trust their father's voice no matter what the father said, either as an angel or a devil. The other people, if it was other parents that weren't their parents, then it was kind of a 50-50. But if the child actually got their parent, they trusted that parent no matter what. And there's a lesson in there as parents for kids. What we say and how we give examples to our children absolutely matters, and they want to trust us. Are we giving them God's word or not? Friends, sometimes they're friends in life where they're trusted friends, they're best friends. Sometimes those friends were angels or devils, and they didn't know. They wanted to trust them. They wanted to listen to them. Sometimes they led them right. Sometimes they didn't. We discovered how challenging that was. Sometimes it was just a lucky guess. It's like in their mind, who am I going to listen to? And I'm going to take my chances because they were clueless. So who to believe? Challenging. The next one is lessons. Some of the lessons came hard because the seventh graders just wouldn't listen. They had the party music going on from the very beginning. No matter where they were at, almost along the course, they could hear that there was heaven's festivity music. Would they hear it as that or not? Did the seventh grader do what they thought was best? You know, when they had the choice of going on the sidewalk or towards the sanctuary, they had to make the choice. Did they choose what was best? Did they listen to the wrong voices? Did they forget to ask the pastor? Some of the kids said, man, I forgot that I could ask you. All I had was all these loud voices telling me what to do and what not to do, and I was so confused, and I forgot that I could consult with someone who would give me God's answers. Those were some of the lessons that they learned. Some of it was just about wasted time. They could have been over with this event in probably about 5 to 7 minutes. Walk across the street, enter the door, go over the couch, go under the tables, boom, you're in heaven. A little wet in the knees and the hands, but you were there. But they didn't go that fast. Some stood on the curb for 15 minutes waiting for the cars to pass that weren't there. Some sat in the church building for 15 minutes waiting for heaven to come when heaven was someplace else. Some sat in the happy senior high house next to the pool tables and the foosball tables waiting for heaven to come, and it never came. So they just wasted time. Think about these things. Doing things that the world taught us is wrong might be necessary. Sometimes doing things that are uncomfortable might be necessary. Those are all the things that came up. And here's something else that came to us. As you're thinking about this in life, and parents might have this more than others, frustration in heaven who are watching us. Heaven wanted to help. They could not. It was up to the people on the course. They could see and understand everything was going on. They could hope for them to choose wisely, but they could do nothing to help because it was the seventh graders' event to do themselves. Only the angels could interact. Frustrations of heaven wanting to help. Frustrations of the even angels and devils. The angels so much wanted to get the child to do what was right. And the devil so much wanted to get the child to do what was wrong. And there was like tension between them. Sometimes they would be pushing each other and are covering up their mouths because they didn't want them to say anything else. In heaven at the end, it was absolutely worth it. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun for them to be in that kitchen in that heaven space. Now, saying this story and thinking about these things, no matter what's going on with our lives, consider where you are. Before today's worship service started, and you're in your homes or in your cars, wherever you're at, you're participating in this, where are you today? Are you in a place that is of God's intention for you or not? And if you consider where Jesus and the angels are calling you to, consider what are the distractions in your lives? What are the things that might be trying to rob you and move you away from the right path of your Lord? And at the end of the day, I would hope you would remember that there is an abundant life that Jesus is calling you to be experienced by just staying close and moving closer. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who do you follow? Now, for those that want to know that you want to believe in Jesus, we're going to get to the Bible part. Here's the proofs. We read chapter 10's words today. Title of the chapter for almost everybody's Bible is The Good Shepherd. That's how it almost always titles it. Before you get to chapter 10, right before chapter 9, if you want proof that you're to follow Jesus and Jesus' voice first and only, and everybody else comes second and only measured by Jesus' voice, look to chapter 9. In chapter 9, St. John devotes an entire chapter to the story of Jesus healing a blind man, a person who could not see, much like the blind ones in this confirmation event and in our lives. Jesus heals him. He gives him the truth. He gives him the sight. Before Jesus tells us that he's a good shepherd, before Jesus tells us that he's the door, he gives us proof, because the blind man told the Pharisees and Sadducees, all the people in this Jewish place, it's never been recorded that someone who has been born blind has been made blind or made able to see. Never before, only Jesus. So if you're a blind person and you're going to listen to somebody, if you're going to follow somebody's voice, you're going to follow the one who, like no one else in the history of the world, has ever taken someone born blind, put a hand on them, and told them what to do, and then they recovered their full sight. Who do you believe, who you trust, who you follow? I'll trust a man who can give beautifully, who loves powerfully, and wants to bring sight to the blind. Now, if that's not enough, on the other side of chapter 10 comes chapter 11. And in chapter 11, the entire chapter is about the man named Lazarus and his sisters, his family. And Lazarus has died. If you didn't have enough proof that you want to follow Jesus, because he's the only one in history who has told the blind man with his voice, his command to see, and he sees, then you look to Lazarus. No one in human history has ever spoken to a four-day-old stinking corpse and told it to come out of the ground fully alive, restored. Chapter 9 was a blind man. Chapter 11, Lazarus is told to come out and to live abundantly. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who do you follow? I'll believe and trust and follow Jesus, because no one in human history has ever done what Jesus did in chapter 9 and chapter 11. Now, with that said, we get to go to chapter 10 right in the middle. Chapter 10, sandwiched between two powerful proofs that cannot be denied. They have to be reckoned with. We get the words, the good shepherd. Before Jesus claims to be the door, he opens the blind man's eyes. Before he claims to be the good shepherd, he heals the Lazarus. Two events, and now you get to decide. Who will you believe? Who will you trust? Who will you follow? Now that said, no matter what's going on around you, we get to remember. And we get to consider. On this day, where are you? Where are you in your relationship with your Lord? Where are you with your life habits? Are they full of life, or are they kind of full of not so much life? Where's your relationship with friends and family in the world? How are you and Jesus doing today? Where are you? And then after considering that, and I ask you to prayerfully do that sometime later in the day and during this next week, considering where you are now here, where is Jesus calling you? It's a great time to consider this, because it's still not too busy. The economies, at least in our state, have not been fully engaged yet. So it's kind of still social isolation. And so in this, you can have some great habits, and you can ask God and say, God, where are you calling me? What do you want for my life? And actually, I already kind of know what you want for my life. I know where you're calling me, Lord. Help me just do it. All the things I put as roadblocks and excuses and hindrances and think distractions, Lord, I confess them and I put them before you. Lord, I do not want to follow those things anymore. Lord, I want to follow you, but I can't do it. Please help me. Forgive me for the ways I keep going to the distractions. Forgive me. And I'll probably keep doing it. Don't give up on me. Lord, help me hear your voice. Help me go where your voice leads. Maybe nothing in the world around you changes. Maybe the challenges with jobs, or maybe the challenges with being isolated and all the stuff that happens with that. Maybe you're irritated and wearing masks all the time. Whatever's going on, maybe that won't change. But with all the world staying the same, maybe you'll change. Maybe you'll have a peace inside that you can't explain. A peace and a gift of God. Maybe you can discover that you are trusting in the Lord, and he is providing and he is blessing. And maybe in this time you can experience that, wow, God, he is blessing me with abundant life. And right now I'm feeling it, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't earn it. I don't understand it, but I've got it. And thank you, God. You just want to raise your hand and say, thank you, God. All that stuff, all these conversations we're having this message time, it started with with words to me, "Pastor, who do you believe? Pastor, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to follow?" I can tell you, I don't know if I can trust political leaders. I can't trust the news commentators. I can't trust all the educated, professional, experienced opinions I'm bombarded with. I don't know. But on this day, I am directed, like you, to once again and remember and to say, I believe in Jesus, and I will trust in Jesus, and I will follow Jesus, and I look forward to abundant life. God help us be the church. Amen. Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We'll now continue with the intercessory prayers. Heavenly Father, we live in a time of uncertainty and unrest. We ask that you help us to be a people certain of your power, your love, your presence in our lives this day and all eternity. Help us to be a people who rest in the truth. Your kingdom has been, is now, and forever will be. You are the Lord God, and we will keep our eyes on you. We will trust you. We will follow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, with joy and delight, we thank you that a new day has dawned and a new hope is given. Christ is alive, and you empower us to be alive with him. We thank you that grace is stronger than evil, that mercy is larger than suffering, and that joy is greater than sorrow. We thank you for a season to celebrate Easter. We thank you for birthdays and all those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Lord, we thank you for all those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries this week. Lord, for all those who will be preparing to give their mother thanks in this coming week. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with companions in life. We ask that you would sustain the faith of those who mourn the absence of their loved ones. We ask that you guide the leaders of nations during this time of COVID-19 trouble, that you'd bless the scientists, the medical professionals, you'd bless them with skill and compassion as they take care of the people. Lord, we ask that you would use Christians in these days, that we would touch the lives of all who are in need of healing and courage and peace. Lord, that we'd be a people who would trust you, believe you, and help all people follow you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we will commend ourselves. We will commend all for whom we pray. And Lord, we will trust in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.